Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel on the entire internet. First on the docket, Jacob Blake speaks. Second, prosecutors want to change Kyle Rittenhouse's bond conditions. Third, a Michigan health official and the former governor are charged criminally. 25 years ago, Amber Hagerman was abducted. An Ohio mother gets what she gave. Mark Means doesn't like me. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button as well as that little bell over there in the corner so that you can receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. First on the docket, Jacob Blake speaks. You may recall Jacob Blake as there were some issues up there in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Yeah, a little bit of rioting, a little bit of burning. Because of the Jacob Blake situation when he was shot by a police officer. As you may also recall, back on August 23rd of 2020, Blake was at the home of Lakeisha Booker, the mother of three of his six children. They were celebrating their son Israel's eighth birthday when an argument erupted between Booker and a neighbor. Mr. Blake says that he was saying, "I'm going to take them out of here to get them out of here." Well, Booker called 911 as Blake was getting ready to leave with his two sons. The 911 dispatch states, "Jacob Blake is here and he has the keys to a rental that I purchased and I need to take back, and he's not trying to release it." Needless to say, a dispatcher sent three officers from Kenosha Police Department to respond to the incident and alerted them that there's a warrant for Mr. Blake's arrest on charges of trespass, disorderly conduct, and third-degree sexual assault, stemming from an alleged domestic violence incident earlier that summer. Prosecutors later dropped the sexual assault charge and Blake pled guilty to two counts of disorderly conduct and was sentenced to 2 years on probation. Blake said that he was trying to put his children in the car when he said that he felt someone's arm on him and that he reacted. He said that he didn't realize that it was the police and he was like, "Uh-oh, because when I did that, he slammed me up against the truck." Now, according to the investigative reports by the Kenosha County District Attorney's Office, the police officer involved in this incident, Rustin Shesky, recalled approaching Blake on the street and telling him, "Let's talk about this." Shesky said he then grabbed Blake's arm to arrest him and mentioned the warrant. Blake, however, claimed that the officer didn't say anything to him. A struggle ensued, and Shesky alleged that Blake reached for his waistline area, leading police to believe that he was reaching for a weapon. Shesky deployed his taser multiple times, but Blake pulled the prongs out of his skin. At that point, Blake says that he's rattled. He realizes that he did drop his knife, had a little pocket knife as he was referring to it as, and he picked it up and got off of him because they tased me and they fell on top of him. Blake says that he's always told the investigators that he had a knife at the time of the incident, but details given by his lawyer denied that there was ever a knife involved. Now, as you may recall, just last week, the district attorney decided that they would not press charges, and the reason they did not do that was that they would have a difficult time overcoming self-defense by the officer because there was, in fact, a knife. Mr. Blake says the way that he reacted was that he wasn't thinking clearly at the time. Needless to say, he was shot numerous times. He's now paralyzed and he is on probation. No civil suit has been filed yet, but I'm sure the Kenosha County and city are in fact probably trying to negotiate for some sort of settlement. Even though no criminal charges have been filed, the question is going to be whether the officer acted completely reasonable under the circumstances. The district attorney decided that they could not prove that case beyond a reasonable doubt. But remember, the burden of proof in a civil case is much lower, which is simply preponderance of evidence, more likely than not. So if the city believes that they are going to lose at trial, they're going to get their checkbooks out early. We'll see if they pay. Mr. Blake's attorney is the same attorney, Mr. Crump, that represented Breonna Taylor's family, where he received a $12 million settlement for the family against the city of Louisville, Kentucky. Next on the docket, prosecutors would like to change the conditions for Mr. Kyle Rittenhouse. You may ask, why would the prosecutor want to change the conditions? Well, apparently after court last week, Mr. Rittenhouse went to a bar, and apparently in Wisconsin, an 18-year-old can drink as long as you are accompanied by an adult. Mr. Rittenhouse was accompanied by his mother. When Mr. Rittenhouse arrived at the bar with his mother, he apparently was serenaded by the Proud Boys, who have obviously been in the news lately, and he was wearing a t-shirt that said, "Free as F." He was also taking photographs and giving the OK symbol, which has been associated with white supremacist groups. Now, I have no idea what Mr. Rittenhouse's beliefs are, but I'm sure his attorneys probably told him to hang low, and they would not approve of him hanging out at bars and drinking. I'm sure that Mr. Rittenhouse's attorneys are going to admonish his behavior, and they will tell the court when it comes up for the hearing in regards to modification of his bond that they have admonished him and that he is going to be much better. If I was his attorney, I would also advise him that, hey, listen, you have an opportunity based upon some evidence that we've seen as it relates to video, that you have a straight-face self-defense case, but don't do anything that's going to harm your case. Go to school, go to work, go home. That's all you're going to do. You're not going to be out there making political statements. You're not going to be hanging out at bars with people that are associated with white supremacist groups. That's what people report it as. I don't know what their relationship is, but needless to say, it doesn't matter. Perception is reality, and if that's what people think, that's what they're going to believe. So stop it. You're only hurting your own case there, Mr. Rittenhouse, is what I'm sure his attorneys would tell him. Next on the docket, former Michigan Director of Health and Human Services Nick Lyon has been charged with 9 felony counts of involuntary manslaughter in connection with his alleged role in a water crisis in the city of Flint. Lyon pled not guilty to all counts through his attorney during a live stream court appearance on Thursday morning. Under Michigan law, involuntary manslaughter carries a maximum penalty of up to 15 years in prison and a $7,500 fine. Lyon is also charged with 1 lesser count of willful neglect of public duty under Michigan Health Code, which carries up to 1 year in jail and a $1,000 fine. Now, similar charges against Lyon, which have been filed before and which were dismissed, have been described as politically motivated and baseless personal attacks. Although Mr. Lyon's attorney sought a personal recognizance bond, which Mr. Lyon had in his previous case, the court this time thought that the charges were much more serious and ordered a $200,000 cash surety bond, but agreed that Mr. Lyon had made all civil and criminal proceedings. It's somewhat ironic that the attorney general's office is prosecuting him when they had previously represented him when he was a defendant in civil matters. They may have to have a hearing to see if they've learned anything through their representation, which is now being used against them in the prosecution of Mr. Lyon. Additionally, Michigan Governor Rick Snyder was also arraigned Thursday on 2 misdemeanor counts of willful neglect of duty. His personal bond was set at $10,000, and he is not allowed to leave the state while the case is pending. His next court date is set for January 19th. It is alleged that Flint officials, acting during a financial crisis, decided to use water from the Flint River to service the city's water system while a pipeline was under construction to bring cleaner water to the city from Lake Huron. The water released lead contained in plumbing systems and also led to at least 90 cases of Legionnaires' disease and at least 12 people died. This is definitely a case you do not see very often where public officials have been charged for making a decision. Normally, public officials usually make the wrong decision and they get promoted. Here, they're actually getting prosecuted. We'll continue to follow that case as well. Next on the docket, 25 years ago, Amber Hagerman was abducted. Now, because of the Amber Hagerman case, we have what's now known as an Amber Alert. And the Arlington Police in Texas announced the DNA evidence will be resubmitted in connection with the death of 9-year-old Amber Hagerman, who was found murdered in 1996, which, as we just stated, became the namesake of the Amber Alert. Items are being resubmitted after 25 years because of change in DNA technology, and they hope that they'll be able to create a DNA profile. For those of you who are not familiar with Amber's disappearance, she was riding her bike around an abandoned store in Arlington with her 5-year-old brother, Ricky, on January 13, 1996. At some point, Ricky rode his bike home, but Amber stayed behind, pedaling away around the empty store parking lot. While Amber circled around and rode her bike up and down the empty lot, a white or Hispanic male with a medium build and brown or black hair, driving a full-sized single cab black or dark colored pickup truck, approached her. The suspect was likely in his 20s or 30s at the time of the incident. A witness at the time, Jim Kevel, 78, was working in his backyard when he witnessed someone grab Amber, push her in the truck, and drive off. Arlington police arrived within minutes, but it was too late. The FBI joined the search efforts, but for days there were no clues whatsoever. 4 days into the search, a man casually walking his dog stumbled upon what appeared to be a deceased child lying nude and face down in a creek behind the Forest Hills Apartments in North Arlington. The apartment complex was only a few miles away from where Amber was kidnapped. The autopsy confirmed that the deceased child was in fact Amber. The coroner reported that she was likely kept alive for at least 2 days and repeatedly sexually assaulted. Her official cause of death was cut wounds to the throat. Days after learning that Amber was found deceased, a woman named Diana Simone, who did not know Amber or her family, called into a local Fort Worth radio station and suggested they broadcast when a child is abducted, similar to the way that they would broadcast severe weather alerts. Obviously, that's what we have now, and it has been responsible for saving many a child. In fact, by the end of 2015, the Amber Alert helped find and rescue at least 800 children. The Amber Alert plans works in all 50 states, as well as more than 20 countries. So at least something positive can come out of a very tragic situation. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever, but if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, an Ohio woman gets exactly what she gave. That's right. An Ohio mother who locked her 7-year-old daughter in a cage as she wasted away to 28 pounds, was sentenced to 3 years in prison in what the judge referred to as a sickening case. Lillian Cottrell, 29, pled guilty to child endangerment and was handed the sentence Monday after prosecutors said that she and her boyfriend, Derek Mayle, locked the young girl up as punishment and tortured her over the course of 7 months. Child welfare obviously removed the child, but when they found her, she weighed only 28 pounds. When the sentence was being given, that's right, Miss Cottrell smiled and rolled her eyes. And the judge said, "Now you're going to find out what it's like to live in a cage just like you did to your daughter." Miss Cottrell is certainly not going to be nominated for the real Mother of the Year contest for sure. Next on the docket, I don't think Mark Means likes me. You know, Mark Means, he represents Lori Vallow. As I was going through comments the other evening, a subscriber said, "Scott, somebody has put something up and it appears to be Mark Means, and he doesn't like you." So I did a little research. I found it. There's a site that says Mark Means Law. Now, I don't know if this is the same Mark Means. Somebody could have created this website without his knowledge in any way. And frankly, there's nothing on there that would indicate that it is in fact associated with Mark Means in any way. But needless to say, they have a picture of me that they have altered, and it gives me red eyes and then flames coming out of my eyes. And it's not very flattering either, I might add. Needless to say, Mark Means must have fans if they're going out of their way to create YouTube channels saying, Scott Reich, leave me alone. Because I don't think Mark Means would have time to do that, because he's obviously pretty busy preparing for the case for Lori Vallow. And we all know how that's been going thus far. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. You know, when you drop off your rental car, you always check, you know, you check to make sure you have chargers and the phone and your briefcase and your bags. And you always double check, right? Well, there were two men, Asayam Hiltz and Sharif Frazier, were busted the other day at the Albany International Airport after they turned in their rental car. And when they turned in their rental car, obviously the rental car company cleans the cars. And what did they find in the rental car? Well, they found heroin, a lot of heroin. They found 35 grams of MDMA, marijuana, and roughly $6,000 in cash. Apparently, Mr. Hiltz and Mr. Frazier forgot the drugs in the car. So when they returned back to claim the car and say they forgot something in it, guess what? They were met by the deputies of the Albany County Sheriff's Office, where they were promptly arrested. Always check the rental car before you go, particularly if you're carrying illegal drugs. So Mr. Hiltz and Mr. Frazier, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. Congratulations. But there's more. That's right. You could be the dumb criminal contestant of the week and get cool Crime Talk merchandise. That's right. Shipped to you. We won't forget about you like you forgot about your drugs. Thanks for watching. Have a wonderful day. We will see you tomorrow on Crime Talk.